meeting to order, please. Compliance with open meeting law?
Yes, the agenda was sent to the radio station, the newspaper, and the county clerk to be posted.
Okay, approval of the agenda. Has everybody had an opportunity to review it and look at it? Any corrections? No corrections here? Okay. Carolyn made a motion to approve it. Dale seconded it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approval of the minutes?
We know it anyway.
Everybody's had an opportunity to review that and look at it. Any corrections, additions to it? If not, we have a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Arnold made the motion. Joanne seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Public comment, communication?
Okay, well, we have some citizens today from Potosi Rec that would like to address the committee. So, introduce yourselves. And
Any particular place you would like us to stand, or are we okay here?
You were just fine, I think.
I would like to say good morning. My name is Shirley Schiffman. I'm from Potosi, and I have Betty Kalina and Larry Kalina with me as well. They're both citizens of Potosi.
Hey, you.
Hi.
So we're interested in creating a nutrition meal site in the village of Potosi. This interest was created by a new comprehensive plan whereby we are hoping to offer more services to our seniors. This would also include some senior housing. We have a large population of seniors in our area, and we don't have a grocery store, and we'd like to be able to offer our seniors some nutritious meals, as well as social time and social activities. So we are here before you today to ask some direction from you, some thoughts from you as well. We'd like you to know that we do have locations in mind for a meal site. We have volunteers that would help with transportation to the meal site for those who might need it. And we'd like to include in our meal site the village of Potosi, the village of Tennyson, and the surrounding area, which is basically the Potosi School District taxing area. Let's see, refer to my notes here. We have some questions for you, and you'll probably have some questions for us. First of all, is it possible to have a meal site in Potosi? How does a meal site work? How does the Meals on Wheels program work? What should our step one be? What should step two be? We need some direction on how to move forward. Can we get Meals on Wheels if we do not have a meal site? And after our meeting today, we would like to send out a survey to try to determine the number of seniors that might be interested in a meal site. And we're wondering if you have a survey that we could use as a guideline. So we appreciate your time, your thoughts, your willingness to listen to our idea. Anything else to add?
Well, I think that's a good place to start.
All right. I think we'll try to address some of those questions. You're going to have to probably prompt me on a few of them.
Okay.
The first being, you know, is it possible to have a meal site? Well, anything is always possible. However, it does take money, obviously. It does take funding. And right now, I would say our funding is tight. I'm not sure that we're going to get additional funding, but I'll let the board members speak to that. If we were to move forward with anything else, it would simply, we would need to look at our program as a whole and see where we might be able to save money in other places. In order to do anything, I think, moving forward, we would have to find the savings within the program right now as a whole, and then in order to fund this. Would that be accurate to the board?
Yes.
So I'm not saying it's not a possibility, but saying we would have to take a look at probably our other sites and see if where our expectations of those sites, if they're performing or if we can, you know, take a day here from another site and a day here. Are you looking at, well, at this point you haven't really done a survey yet, we don't know, so are you interested in anything from 1 to 5 days a week, or do you have a notion in mind of what you would like the program to look like?
I guess, you know, we're open to anything, but I would think that, you know, 2 or 3 days a week would be a place to start, maybe.
Okay.
So people would get in the habit of coming, but we're probably open to starting someplace.
My question to you would be, you said it was prompted by the comprehensive plan?
Correct.
And that was simply looking at maybe a lack of things for seniors in the area? Is that what? Okay.
When they did the census in 2000, they divided our population by age groups. And that age group that was the largest in 2000 now is our senior citizens. So we're from 65 to maybe 79, that's where a lot of our people fall. So we know we have a lot of seniors. They've talked about this. We just don't know how many. And the other thing that we have going in Potosi, Tennessee, like in a lot of communities, we have a lot of folks that are single, people living in their homes. So it makes it hard for them to cook, so to speak. And then the other piece of this, as important as the food, is the social part. It gets long for people that are, you know, in the homes by themselves. And so it's kind of an experience providing them with someplace to go, you know, meet with their peers. That's our goal down the road, someplace.
Yeah, well, social isolation is a big thing. It's becoming more and more researched and shown to be an issue. It doesn't, you know, people are healthier when they're out and they socialize. a couple things that I just want to point out, I don't know if the board knows, and we had a little bit of conversation prior to the meeting. The state does require in any type of meal site that we open or dining site that we open that there be an on-site manager there. We cannot get away with that. I know we have one meal site, 1 day a week, that does have a volunteer from the city. I guess I don't know if she's a volunteer or paid from the city, but we were told at the last on-site that we had that wouldn't fly moving forward. That we do have to have paid staff in those positions. The only option that I know of without a paid manager is the voucher, which is still in project and draft form. They've never actually finalized a program for that. So
well, that was one of our questions. Maybe you answered it, but we were wondering if an individual from Potosi, Tennessee, or two people were trained from the community, would that work in terms of being a manager? That was one of our questions. You probably answered that, but could a local person be trained to be that meal site person?
It would need to be, from what I understand, it would need to be a paid staff person, from what I gather. If we were looking for an exemption from that, I guess we could contact GWAR on that. GWAR is our Greater Wisconsin Area on Aging Resources that provides the oversight for us. However, I doubt that would be the case. The regulations actually that come down from Older Americans Act say there does need to be a paid manager, so that
would be did stipulate that
where the cost would come in. I'm not sure I've answered some of your other things. So, if you have questions,
have they ever had a meal site in Potosi?
Yeah,
we did.
The
that
question.
One time many years ago. First, it was located in at that time it was called senior housing for a number of years, and then from there it moved to the school, which apparently didn't work real well, and that didn't last long, but it's been a number of years since we've had a meal site.
Yeah. I think it was in 2000 we closed that, if I remember.
Is it something around there?
And when I said 2002, so we closed it. The issue is when the senior housing building where we were located went from a complete senior unit to a multifamily mixed population unit, the site just went out, and we had little to no participation. So we moved it to the elementary school, which they had us booked in with the elementary students eating at the same time. Well, you can imagine eating with kindergartners and first graders. And at the time, I just thought that it was going to be a great multi-generational option. Didn't turn out that way.
And I can add to that, I think that some people did go to that and enjoyed it, but the parts that didn't work so well, it was the walking part was quite a ways to walk,
right.
And that was one piece. And then it was like, it wasn't an hour or 2 hour deal. It was like you eat and then you got to leave because, you know, it was in and out. And I think a lot of our folks just like to talk and play cards, and we couldn't do that there.
Correct.
So that's kind of, you know, it seems to me that if a site's going to work, you have to make it a really inviting experience for people to come and continue to come. And that wasn't the right.
Correct.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the socialization part is equally as important as the nutrition, of course.
So was there a staff manager there at that time?
Yes, there was.
Okay.
Do you remember what kind of turnout they had, Ruth? They used to have a pretty good crowd there.
When we were in the senior housing, we were doing well. We were averaging at least 10 people a day, which, again, many of those were from that unit itself. They were not all extra community people. But we had a good mix when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we've seen this happen throughout the county with some of the locations that we were located in. When they went from pure senior housing to a mixed population, we've lost participation.
Is there any, are people getting like Meals on Wheels or anything in that area now? Or
I'm sorry?
Are people getting any type of meals?
No,
or
answer that.
We have done some, yes. We've done some out of our Lancaster site.
Okay.
So, for instance, if we get a call that somebody had surgery and they just need him for a short period of time, we're fortunate in that our current Lancaster site manager lives in Potosi. So we've worked it out that she's done some of those deliveries.
Or if they have a support person that
Correct.
Can come and get the meals.
What we encourage first and foremost is to have a family member pick them up. We've done some frozen meals out of Lancaster so that, say they have a relative or a friend or a neighbor or a family member, somebody that can be in town, pick up those meals, and take like frozen meals a week's worth at a time. Rather than the daily delivery. So what we've done, we've tried to meet those needs, but it's always been on a short-term basis, not extensive. And the Meals on Wheels, just for your information too, there's an eligibility requirement for Meals on Wheels. It can't just be a request to have
so
her.
So for a person to qualify, they'd have to fill out a question?
We have a registration form that
okay.
we go through that the state provides us. But the determination is, can they get to the meal site? You know, because we encourage them to go eat with others if they can. So the eligibility for the home delivered is based on their ability to, you know, their functional ability.
Okay.
Can they get out? And can we meet their nutritional needs? We don't do specialized diets. We don't do mechanical diets or soft diets or you know, we're not able to provide those. So.
So if we had some folks that would qualify or might qualify, then we could get a form from you?
Well, we would do that assessment.
You would do
that,
okay.
Yeah, the office does those assessments for every individual who is qualified for home-delivered meals throughout the county. So that's something we would take care of.
So how would that work? That person would have to come to your office or you would go to their home? Or?
We can do an initial setup by phone, but then we do a visit, preferred visit to be able to see.
So what about the meal site? Are there certain qualifications to be able to go to a meal site? Age?
Only that you're 60 and older, 60. Or if you're the spouse of someone 60 and older who regularly attends. If you're 57 and you're married to a 61-year-old who's working, that's not going to qualify you. If the 61-year-old goes, you're certainly welcome to go if you're...
And no income restrictions.
No income restrictions at all. You know, we have a suggested donation per meal, and that's $3.50 currently. The Older Americans Act authorizes that we have to allow people the opportunity to donate what they feel they can work into their individual budgets. So, okay. So it's the donations are not monitored in any capacity.
Okay.
So in a sense, the Meals on Wheels can be independent from a local meal site, but it's not encouraged.
Much more difficult.
It would pose problems for
because
us.
Because of the delivery?
Yes. Okay. And we're having that countywide. We have people that live in very isolated areas in the county. As you know, the county's large and it's rural, so we have people in pockets that really don't, they're not really adjacent to any community, and it's very difficult to get meals out to those people.
Lori, do you have people in communities that volunteer to pick up meals and do the Meals on Wheels? Do you have that? Yes.
And I will point out that a dining site does take a fairly large amount of volunteers in order to run. It is not just simply run by a meal site manager. It really depends on volunteers who will step in and help with that, especially if Meals on Wheels are provided there as well. So,
and all volunteers go through an application process, and we do a criminal background check for volunteers before they're allowed to be a part of the program.
One of the wonderful things of living in the Potosi community, Tennyson community, is our volunteers. Mm-hmm. We have wonderful volunteers that step up to the plate every time. So I'm not particularly concerned about the volunteers.
So is this something you'd like to see on the agenda moving forward to discuss? Obviously, we aren't going to probably be able to take any action today, and there's much to look at in terms of if we would like to pursue this.
I definitely looked at it because, like I said,
they had a pretty good turnout, I guess you call it, when they had it at the apartments there. Well, like I say, it's been quite a few years ago now.
Well, the problem with the school was they did it with the elementary kids. They had to leave quick because the junior high and high school was coming into the same lunchroom. And that's why that was in and out.
Would the board like them to gather any information ahead of time? I wouldn't be able to put it on the agenda until January. That's when we meet again and to look at and discuss. But by then, we could look at the program as a whole.
Make some recommendations.
I'd like to see the survey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll work with you.
Do you have a survey that we
would develop one?
We'll develop one. Okay.
We had one. I can't find it. It may be in somebody else's files.
And the next meeting is January?
January.
So if we could, you would prefer that we try to get this information for a January meeting?
Yeah.
If we can? Mm-hmm.
Would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it actually gives you almost 2 months.
Yeah.
If Ruth can do a little more searching or
we can help facilitate that.
We'll get a survey out to the Village of Potosi, the Village of Tennyson, and I believe we're surrounded by 5 townships in the town, right? And so we'll do our best to get this brilliant idea of putting the survey in with the real estate tax bills. That's not allowed.
The survey is very important, not only from your point of view, but from our point of view as well. Sure. We know we have lots of seniors. We just need to know how many would participate in this program. Mm-hmm. And we really don't want to start a program unless we can sustain it and keep it going, because it takes a lot of time and effort by a lot of people.
Exactly.
Yep. But I suspect on the survey, we should do something like, if funding was available and we could find a site, would you be interested? Because we don't want to lead people to the fact that we're going to do this.
I think we'll make sure that there's some wording on
and
it.
And then not people follow through.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That's just okay.
And we would also try to set their expectations so they don't expect this 2 weeks from now.
We have to give a 60-day notice to our AAA, which is Globe.
We'd have to hold a public hearing.
There has to be a public hearing, so there's a number of steps that would have to happen before that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They won't be getting a Thanksgiving dinner.
I doubt they'll get a Christmas dinner.
Well, actually, they're welcome at any of our dining sites around the county. So if they're willing to travel, they could.
Which I would encourage you to do is visit some of our other sites and see what a meal site is.
That's a good point.
Yeah. That would be important, just so we know what we're getting into and how they do it.
Good
mm-hmm.
idea.
Yeah, that would be okay to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
I can give you a list of those. you'd like.
Yeah,
I think I printed
any,
one off the web.
Any other questions before we move on?
Right. Now, I'm sure that you've got building sites in Potosi and Tennyson that would be available to rent, I'm sure. Empty buildings and businesses, probably.
Yeah, we have probably four or five that that we're thinking about. We've approached one location. They seem to be very receptive to the idea, but they have to have a board meeting, of course, and
sure.
discuss it with other people. It's a public building. So I think we'll be able to take care of the location. And like I said, we certainly have the volunteers, so I think we can pull it all together with your help.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Nice meeting you.
It was
nice
thank
meeting
you.
Very
talking
much.
To you soon.
Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Is there any more discussion in regards to that? Anybody wants to say anything? If not, move on to the Elder Fest update.
Okay. Whew, we are just like blowing through this year so fast. It just seemed like we were planning Elder Fest, and now it's we're almost a month out. So we had an extremely successful Elder Fest. It went very well. We had, 260-some people in the first hour. So it was busy. We ended up overall with 364 attendees from 40 zip codes.
Wow.
So we had a nice reach, 40 zip codes. Heard a lot of nice comments throughout the day in speaking with attendees. Some of you were there, and I appreciate those that were there to help us out. It was very much appreciated. We definitely needed our volunteers. Like I said, it was busy. We changed the setup a little bit, and it flowed well, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Just made a couple slight things. We had more of the vendors participate in the pumpkin contest. And people really like that, but it's kind of a nightmare at the end when we're trying to get rid of the pumpkins.
Yeah.
But we did figure out a better plan, so if we do that next year,
we have
a plan for
good.
That to alleviate that. We did a photo booth this year, which was a little different, but people kind of liked
fun.
It. We didn't know how that would go. And then we had Vespermans do the breakfast. We had well over 100 eat. I think it went well. You do those, you're not sure what to think on
that. It was really good.
I thought so too.
One
so.
Of the vendors said, she expects maybe 100 people to show up. She said, I have to go out to the car and get some more materials.
She didn't read our literature then, because we always say that we have about 300, at least 300. But yeah, they did go through a lot. But people were engaged with vendors when I walked around, which is really what we want. We want them to, be talking with them and getting their flu shots. I think that was the one downfall, is the one pharmacy didn't have the flu shots.
Yep.
But I saw a lot of people getting shots, so I think the health department still had some. So
they ran out.
They ran out too. Overall, I thought it went really, really well. Our evaluations are coming back in. They've been good. There's a couple people that have checked advertising, which just makes me cringe, because we spend a lot on advertising, and it's a pretty good bang for their $100 table that they get. And we've had a couple comments that they'd like all the vendors listed on the ads. And first of all, I'm not going to do that for two reasons. We spend a lot, the majority of the budget that the $100 that they pay for goes to advertising this. I mean, it is a large budget. We advertise in the Shopper, the Roundup, the local newspapers, our newsletter, we have
radio
ads, we have radio on site. I mean, and then we do flyers and we send those out. We do a lot of advertising for this. But to put all of the vendors on there for, it would just take up a lot of space that we don't have. And I don't know about you, but I don't sit and usually read all those anyway. So I'm going to kind of...
I would personally much rather see what was going to be there.
Exactly.
Who was going to be
exactly.
there.
Right.
Because,
exactly.
Like you said, I'm not going to sit there and read and see, is my bank there or
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I,
We had a fair amount used transportation this year too, much more than in past years. So overall, I don't know if anybody else has anything to say, but overall, I mean, our pumpkins were great. They were fabulous.
They were fantastic.
There were some really nice ones.
And everybody was thrilled with the ones they got. Even the last person was mm-hmm. happy.
What we're going to do next year is we're only going to, if you want to win a pumpkin, we'll have you sign up between like 11 and 11:30, and then only those people who sign up for it will draw from. So they'll be
right.
there
so
instead
be there.
Of,
right.
you know, because people did, you know, they signed up, but then they decided not to stay.
And a lot of people, and it worked out better than before because a lot of them said, no, I won't be here, or I don't want a pumpkin, I've already got pumpkins.
Yeah.
So it could have been worse.
But no, overall, I like I said, and thank you to those that volunteered because it was very much appreciated. It's always a big event to get off, but it went really without a hitch this year. I thought it went really, really smooth.
Yeah.
So do you think the breakfast worked better than a lunch?
I think we had more for breakfast this year. A little. We certainly had a number of coffee and donuts too because they did have the
sure.
apple cider donuts. So you always hear you. So many times when people say anything, they only say it. You know, they only say it if they're not happy about it. So there was a few people that missed the turkey and dressing mm-hmm. sandwiches, and you know, you're always going to have
bad.
That. Yeah, they were good. They were. But I think because we shortened it up, I think it works better because. Oftentimes, when they came before, they were just waiting and waiting and waiting for lunch. So they were wanting to know when lunch was going to be served.
Sorry.
So now when they walked in, they could just immediately eat if they wanted to. So I think there was some advantage to that. And part of it is it was new this year. So, you know, I don't think they knew. I wanted Vesperman's to be there by 8:30 and set up in terms of so the vendors could eat, and that didn't quite happen. They got there a little later than that, and so vendors didn't get to eat quite as early. Some vendors still did. I know they did, but that I would have preferred that a little bit earlier. But I think that was probably the only hitch that we really had. We lucked out this year because the FFA. School was still in session, and past year's school's been off, so we got the FFA kids to come in and do the setup for us and the takedown, and boy, that was
really
fast.
Nice.
I'm telling you,
really
that,
nice.
That was hard to stay.
There are times when I could hardly walk out of the Youth and Ag building from taking down tables and just, you know, and it would be like we'd be exhausted, and boy, it was really nice to walk out of there and have those kids handle that because man, they had it down in 15
fast,
minutes.
Yeah,
they were extremely fast. And happy to be there because you know they were getting out of something. So.
Not really.
They were a fun group. They weren't very good with the map on the first day. They put one kid in charge of the map, and he didn't do very well on that. We had to assign him a different task. But other than that, no, it went really, really well. I think some of our newer vendors were very surprised at the amount of people that came through. And that we had, I think the year before, we had just around 300, 303, 310 maybe. So we did have an increase. So I was very pleased with it. So, okay.
Advocacy reports and activities, ADRC regional board meeting report. There isn't much.
They
canceled it. So.
Oh, that's right.
So we never got to wear our costumes. No.
Oh, man.
Because it's on Halloween day.
Had it all ready, too, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. So I have to save it for another time.
So well, who would have thought you'd have had to cancel on Halloween day, right?
Really? Yeah. It snowed.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right.
It was a nasty day that day.
I love Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was good early in the morning.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was not a good day.
Can I just make a comment about our little group of moms?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the name of your group, though. Can you tell me?
Moms.
Just moms.
Moms on a mission.
Moms on a mission, that's what it was.
We met with a family who moved out of Grant County because they couldn't get the services. so they moved to Dane County.
Couldn't get services in terms of?
For their child, what he needed. He still works at the university, the dad does, but he just drives back and forth now. But they had to move out. They exhausted all their options and...
Was it an adult child or a...
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So, and it's working out well for them at this point. He likes it, but we still are struggling, and we get lulls where we get frustrated because we're not getting anywhere, and then we, you know, then we complain about the government. You know, these great minds sit up in wherever, and they decide that they need to close these facilities because they need to be out in the public and be able to do, and it's like, it's fine and dandy, but what if they can't do that? They need a place to live, and we just don't provide that service in this county. And so you're going to find probably more people moving out of the county just for that purpose. So, it gets frustrating, but we don't have no options. We have to do something, so... Any guidance from this group would be greatly appreciated. We're meeting with Southwest CAP next week. I'm not sure what they would have to offer, but at least talk to them about what's going on. And
I know that you have met with legislators once.
We're going to do it again.
I was going to say, are you continuing to express your
concerns?
We are
going to, because we're going to bring this mom back, and then she can tell her story again about... We need to take care of our residents in this county, and we're not doing it. We take care of seniors over and above, but we don't take care of individuals with disabilities. And parents get older, and these kids live longer. So it's not just only for the child, but it's for the parents' well-being as well. It gets exhausting. So... We just are hanging in there. So it's just kind of fun to get together and share our stories. And
have you talked to Ruth about talking? We don't have a ton of money through the Family Caregiver Program, but there is some money there for respite and things like that. That might be...
Well, we get respite for our son through Inclusa.
Yeah, that's right.
But to take something more than a weekend trip...
Right.
It's not possible. It's not healthy for him because he doesn't have that independence that he probably should need. I don't have the independence that I could use at times. But anyway, every family deals with aging parents we just have a different population.
Are you speaking with the family care providers as well, the MCOs, as far as developing... Some of these.
Yeah. And they don't like it. Family care. They don't tell you how much money is available for your child. I don't know what the big secret is. Is there something that...
Dave, could you speak to that at all?
It's been a number of years since I worked with them, but they have a form that they go through based on the person's needs.
So my son's considered nursing home care.
But they don't say, okay, nursing home care is... $10,000 a month,
no, they
or whatever
don't.
Else. They say, what are the needs? How can we meet these
right.
needs? How much is it going to cost? And that's what they pay for. And
but they just don't.
But they don't, yeah, they don't individually give a dollar amount
no.
to a person.
So we can't.
It's the same for everybody. It's different for each individual.
Nor, unfortunately, before you enroll, do you actually know what those services will look like?
No,
which
you have
to me
no
is
idea
crazy,
what they'll look
but,
like. No.
You know.
And they contract with numerous providers.
Sure.
And they take bids on those, and then whoever else wants to be a provider for that rate will do it for that rate.
So what do they do with when the parents are deceased, and what do they do with that child? Somebody has to do something.
Well, more than likely, if they had a disability where they needed a guardian, they'd have a guardian appointed for them, and they'd work with the guardian
right.
on what the child's needs are, or the adult's.
Right, but they'd have to live somewhere.
Yeah, and they could live someplace maybe out in the community, and if they need a nursing home, they'd have them in a nursing home and pay that. So.
Then again, you're isolated. That's my fear, is we're getting isolated.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I thought would happen, is you'll end up in a nursing home. And
Well, their goal is, it's usually, as a general rule, less expensive to keep someone out in the community than it is in a nursing home. So
those are those great minds.
As a general rule, they should be working really hard to keep that person out in the community versus in a nursing home. But sometimes if the person's needs get to be to that point, they may pay for a nursing home. And it may cost more to keep them out in the community than what a nursing home, but the goal is keep them in the least restrictive environment.
Right, and I agree, and I think that's important because you don't want them to be isolated.
And the other issue is the lack of direct care workers, so there's...
So
the MCOs, even though if they had money available for some of this, can't...
Like Lori Knapp out of Clare Sheen, they've had to close facilities because they can't get staff.
That's ongoing. I just heard Homeward Bound say it the other day as well, so...
But it used to be for programs, you'd get X number of dollars for that program, and then you'd spend those until they're projected to be gone, and then that would be it. With a managed care organization, they would get a set dollar amount for each individual. The state would set it like $2,500 per individual that's enrolled. So one person may only require $1,000 a month, where another one requires $5,000 a month. So they get an X number of dollars based on each person that's enrolled in the program. And they have to make those dollars last. And if they run over it, then that's their issue or their problem. If they're under it, then the state comes and wants to take the money back or give them less.
We have families who are going to have to go off family care because, for instance, they're out in the community doing some employment. Mm-hmm. And they're making too much money.
Oh, yeah. There's financial
eligibility there, too. This is what the government wants, them to be in the community doing something productive, and yet then they take their services away from them. It's like
It's good that you continue to advocate to the legislators, because those really are where those changes are as well.
They don't have a clue, but we're going to tell them.
Well, I think that's...
We're going to be on, trust me.
I think continuing to let them know the issues is
well, it's nice
is the way things change.
They live longer, and... Parents live longer, so everybody thinks that they should live with mom and dad forever and ever and ever, and there comes a point where we can't take care of them. So then what happens? They get stuck in a facility that they don't like, and they don't have a choice.
And like I said, I can't speak for how it operates now, but we used to be really cost conservative, and like I said, we'd save dollars. Well, the next year, then they would reduce the amount of money that we got because we didn't spend the money that we were allocated
That's
before.
Right.
You get penalized for
doing
it. And we tried to explain that to them.
It's a no win situation. Anyway, we're not giving up. We're here to stay. Can we move out of the county?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Public hearing for 8521 transportation grant.
So we will be having that on December 9th, and I'm sorry I didn't put the time in there because I don't think I had it yet. I believe it's at 3 o'clock. I will double check that and make sure you have that before I leave. I'm pretty sure it's 3. It will be here. And I will talk to you about that because that's a good place for you to talk to us about, or making sure that we know your transportation needs as well. You can talk to us ahead of time, but either attend or put some written comments in so we make sure that we capture that in the public hearing as well.
Okay.
So so we will be getting that done before the grant is due. That's all I have to say on that, I guess.
So is that different than the number 7 DOT compliance site review pack?
That is different. So
that is different, okay.
So I talked a little bit about the compliance site review plan, but I don't think I had the formal matrix when we last met. So we do have the formal thing. A lot of the things that really came off of the DOT compliance site review were things that the DOT was told they need to make sure that they're doing, and then in turn had to make sure that we were doing. So some of it was not even things that were on our radar yet, but a few of the things that came out of it that we are working on, because this we have to have this completed within 90 days, which we'll have it done before that, and we'll talk about the next things that as a part of this. So one of the things, we developed some bus and taxi receipt procedures so that when we're getting the bus and taxi bags back in, typically the driver has counted that, and then Mariah has counted that. But when Mariah counts, it'll actually be Mariah and Courtney now counting simultaneously, and then logging that down that they have done that. Again, Mariah and I just need to track and record our time and allocate it to the bus, taxi, the wheelchair van, and/or trips on a daily basis and record that on the timesheet, which is a lot of fun. So basically, we're time reporting now, which I don't love, but, you know, we'll make it work, and we are. So it just is a little bit more more work for us and a little more work for Courtney entering it in. The lease agreement, right now, SOC, Southwest Opportunity Center, is using one of our buses, and we had a lease agreement. However, I did not know that there needed to be DOT approval for that lease agreement. Having talked with DOT about this several times, no one happened to mention that to me. But anyway, as it turns out, there are some issues with that, and Judy was going to get back to me whether we want to do a lease agreement with them. SOC had actually been the original owners of that bus and then released them to us. That there used to be a kind of a weird grant process where only the nonprofits actually submitted the grants, and then they leased the vehicles back to us for virtually nothing. But then a few years ago, the DOT decided to do that differently and had every agency that was getting vehicles actually submit their own grants. And then gave the opportunity for the ones that had had these lease agreements to turn the titles back over. So, of course, people were anxious to do that, because why would you want to, you know, why would you want to report and have to check the maintenance on extra buses that you're not even using? So they did. That being said, as soon as they basically did that, SOC had a very bad string of luck with their buses. And for the last several months have been using ours just because they just don't have enough capacity. So having talked with DOT about that, there's apparently some new regulation that may come into play with SOC using our bus. They might need a DOT number. So Judy's thought at the time was, we may just, if we're not using that bus and don't foresee a real big need for that bus, we may just want to transfer that bus back to SOC. So I briefly spoke with Audrey about that. I'll bring it to you when we know more about it, but Judy was going to try to get information on that. But that was actually her recommendation, so we'll kind of play that out, see where that goes. So let me see. Oh, one of the recommended actions that they had was, they thought we should give consideration to increasing the mileage interval to 4,000 to 5,000 miles between oil changes. Mm-hmm. And actually, what we're looking at is, you know, we'll look at what the manufacturer is and what it, you know, what it states we can do. I think the big thing that I was most concerned about is when it's within 200 miles of that needed oil change, Mariah is actually notifying the driver in writing. Our drivers are, for the most part, very good, but every once in a while they might miss it. So we just want a kind of a written notice on that, so that they know they need to get that in. What else? Let's see. They thought we could possibly enhance our driver training program. Which I found with more classroom training, which I kind of was amused by, because we have a lot of classroom training out here. So I just said, sure. Okay. So the classroom training will literally just be, you know, online modules, because we don't have driver classroom training out here for the most part. But we will revise that a little bit. We do some of it now. But again, I sometimes think they think we have more services out here than we do. But so we will do that. And then a lot of it was just what's coming down the pike here on the next on the agenda was just some things that they wanted an updated Title VI plan policy that's out there. And they gave us a template for that. They had posted that we needed to have our equal opportunity statement posted, which we actually did have posted, so they just missed that and put it in, but we had told them that, so it has been posted. Disruptive passenger policy. We had a code of conduct for passengers. They wanted a policy approved by the board. So we have that before you today. And then we had to add trip denials to our daily driver report. So if we deny somebody a ride, which we don't typically do, but if for some reason we should, then we have to make note of that. A safety and security policy, which originally they told me it had to be by the full county board, but with further discussion will be before you today. And then a special labor warranty needs to be posted, which is a big thing, many, many pages long that no employee is going to look at, but that's okay. We will post it. So that's what came out of the corrective action plan. It was pretty standard. I think I talked to a few counties that had been through it before us, and basically it was pretty standard amongst the counties. So a lot of it is what they were calling people on, they had already developed templates for to make it easier for us. So because I think they recognized the fact that it really wasn't our problem. But so that's that. It doesn't need anything. We're just working on making sure it gets done within the 90 days, so, and that will be the next three agenda items that come up. So,
okay, number eight, safety management plan.
So the safety management policy you do have, this literally is a template. The only thing I did was add ADRC Grant County to it. This came directly out of the DOT. Just basically wanting a safety culture so that if somebody, if a county employee is worried about the safety of a vehicle or something like that, that they can report that without any repercussions, and just recognizing that safety is the first and foremost a big issue, which obviously it is here. And we do have incident reports now. All of our drivers complete a vehicle a pre and post inspection of the vehicle. So they do those on a daily basis. So if there is anything wrong, that gets reported to Mariah right away and gets fixed, or sometimes pulls the vehicle out of service, depending on what it is. And then we do have incident reports if we have anything that way as well. So if you want to take a minute to look at that, you can. So. We do need approval on this, though.
This really ain't nothing new, is it?
Not really.
Pretty much common sense.
Yeah.
I'll move approval or okay, whatever the terminology.
Okay, Dale made the motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Okay, Pam seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
Yeah, a lot of this came out of the fact that the DOT had an audit with the feds, and so this came out of their audit and then gets cycled down to us. So.
And then we need to sign it.
Probably.
Yes, I will have you sign.
Not this one here, but you got the.
You can sign that one and just give it to me.
One of these every year. Once a year, just so they keep the record.
The Title VI plan, I did not waste all the paper for it because the county does a title, you know, all the civil rights plans, the county does one, we do one. We already had a Title VI plan, but of course they wanted it updated slightly. Mm-hmm. So again, with their template, I cannot see where anything is new in it. And I did send it in, but they sent it to somebody else to look at, even though it's their template. So I'm a little...
So we don't have.
They want to make sure you didn't change.
So we don't have approval from them, but I. But what I said to them was, I'm going to ask my board to at least approve the draft, and then if you make any amendments to it, we'll come back with those amendments because it seemed a little silly to me. Probably the biggest thing they look at with the Title VI plan is just how we provide services to people who don't speak English. That is one of the big things. And we are not in an area, obviously, where that is of big concern. You do have to put in, you do have to give a description and of the population that speaks a different language. And I have in here, with our population estimate, the one that we used, the one that they identified, we should use a 51,742, 688 persons have identified themselves as Spanish speaking. That was the highest number, and that is less than the 1% and below the 5% or 1,000 persons threshold. So that means we do not have to require or provide any written translation documents. However, if somebody requested those documents, we would provide them. We would have access to something. And do that. We also use the language line, so if people do not speak the language and will come in, we do have access to the language line that we could help interpret. So the other thing it asked was about the board makeup in terms of the makeup of the county. Well, the county is 96.5% Caucasian, so look around the table. So there again, we just, you know, we don't have those. We just don't have those large minority groups here in the county. So I can't imagine there's going to be too much amendment in this unless they found something that they didn't think was spelled out enough. And like I said, it's their document. There is a complaint form in here, and we always do keep that posted up front if anybody has any problems. So again, the Grant County also has that on their website, so if anybody has a civil rights complaint or a Title VI complaint. So
can I make a clarification on what you're asking? Is that we give approval of the draft that is going there? Do we have to then take a motion after it comes back to approve it?
What I would say is yes. I would just say approve the plan as written today.
Okay.
That's how I would write. Okay. And then if they come back with any amendments or revisions, we'll just discuss those at the following meeting and then just approve those.
Okay.
Because yeah. I would just assume in terms of the timeline for this, I want to say at least you've had it in front of you and looked at it. So then they can't say we're not within our 3 months. So. Does that make sense? And if you would like to see it, I'll be happy to pass it around and you can look at it. It's fascinating reading. It just talks about we have to discuss the public outreach activities that we do. Like I said, the language, the English language. Those are the main things that are in it. And then the makeup of the board. So, not a great deal of.
Then I have a motion to approve the draft.
Sure.
That would be Lester make the motion.
I'll second.
Joanne second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye, second.
I just, that way, if DOT holds it up, we've still met our compliance.
Okay, and if it comes back
here.
Different, then we can take action on it.
Absolutely. And since it's their template, it can't come back too different because it's their template. So that's the way I look at it. So,
number 10, the disruptive passing.
And you do have that in your packet.
Yes, yeah.
So I will let you take a look at that. Again, we've always had a passenger code of conduct. We have had procedures that we've used when we, if we had some problems with somebody on any of our transportation programs. However, they wanted a formal policy. So this is it. Unless you have any questions or concerns.
Really don't have any problem with matters like that. I know of one they had that was a big problem a few years ago. But
I would say for the most part, no, we don't. occasionally, and it's probably not any of the really big stuff. It's more like occasionally we've had somebody bully somebody else or just be kind of obstinate and, or hold people up. And but no, for the most part, we can.
So they only have supervisory assistant.
Got an extra T in my spitting.
As needed.
What's that?
A supervisory assistant, just as needed. Or?
If they, typically the people that ride do not generally need it. However, if they do have a caregiver or anything, that caregiver can ride for free.
Okay.
So they do have that ability. And I did include the volunteer driver in this as well because, you know, we do have sometimes some incidents with riders and volunteer drivers where, you know, they want the volunteer driver to take them more places than we contracted with them to do and then get kind of bullish when we don't want to do that. So, and that is not their responsibility to do. So I would say the majority of things can usually be dealt with on the bus or in the taxi without an issue. Our drivers are customer service friendly and used to dealing with people. So Kathy, our current bus driver, is a former police officer, so she's had
I was going to ask you, are the drivers trained on, I mean, not just reviewing this and looking at it, but are they trained on how to handle people with behaviors?
We do give some of that information. There's not a great deal of training, so a lot of it is more hands-on, but we do provide some information on what you can and can't do. So, I mean, truly, if somebody has a disability, like, say they've got Tourette's or something where, you know, they're not incapable of holding back that
right.
behavior or something, then yeah. they need to know that is not something that, you know, we just need to accommodate that. So I would say for the most part, yes, they're very good about understanding that. And the big thing is we always have them, you know, talk to Mariah or I. Because like I said, 9 times out of 10, it's not anything that we can't handle. Sometimes it just takes a reminder to somebody that, hey, you can't do this, and or you know, yet. I would say the majority of it happens on the bus because that's just a group that, you know, that is in a taxi, you're just going to your place. So very rarely do we have an issue with a taxi. Probably our biggest issues is just if somebody's holding up somebody else. So we just remind them that, you know, you have time limits. You have to listen to the driver in terms of that because we can't, you know, we can't be waiting for 3 hours at Walmart waiting for you. And if you're not back in your time, then, you know, you could get left, which we've never done.
Do you ever get questions on the inappropriate personal hygiene?
Yes. Does it happen?
Yeah. How do they handle that?
Sometimes if the driver's comfortable, they'll just have a conversation with someone or Mariah
by themselves
or I will.
Without
yes,
anybody else
yes,
around.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's probably one of our more common ones, mm-hmm. actually. And to each his own, but when it's an issue for other passengers, if they're really commenting on it, or sometimes it's actually been a health and safety issue if somebody's had some incontinence or things like that, then that's stuff we need to worry about. So, and we have actually provided some people individual transportation because they weren't capable of meeting that need, and we had a couple drivers that were still willing to transport them, so we did that individually for them so they could still get where they needed to go. So we try to work very,
yeah.
you know, in those cases like that, we try to work individually with somebody because we understand it's usually not just a refusal to showers. There's usually more to the story than
right.
that. There are usually medical complications or there's something else going on. So we understand that. And so we try to make some accommodations to make our passengers happy and also accommodate that person. Because, hey, we could all be there one day. So, you know, you just never know. So,
thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Well, it is. It's important because, you know, At face value, you take something like that as, they're just refusing to do that, and that usually is not the case. So. There's usually more to the story. So, and sometimes there is even with the bullying and the other stuff. But, But no, most of it, we don't have issues. Like I said, occasionally we just will get somebody who thinks that they're going to be in charge that day. And, you can be in charge when you're in Walmart and you're in charge of yourself, but you don't get to be in charge of the whole group, so.
The other question I have on the suspensions.
Yes.
It says that she'll be permanently suspended. There's no second chance on that at all, given certain?
Not with certain ones. And I've never suspended. I've never. But the permanent, if you're, I think somewhere down here it talks about, we would be looking at that. I mean, we're obviously going to look at that. If there was physical harm.
Where they physically attacked somebody.
Yeah. And again, if it was a medical, if there was something more, we're going to investigate that to make sure that there wasn't.
It'll
another
be a case by case
that.
Basis.
Yes.
On it.
Yes. Okay. But I mean, if people are attacking passengers or drivers or things like that, yeah, you're going to be kind of done.
How about carrying a weapon if you got a concealed carry permit on it? Still can't.
You can't carry a weapon in any county-owned building, or so we don't allow them on the vehicles either. So.
Anybody else have any other questions in regards to this document? Clarifications or?
There have been times in the past 6 years. I think right when I first came here, we did suspend somebody once, I think maybe for a week. And that was mostly just because we had tried on many occasions to get through to her that she needed to stop the bullying, and it just wasn't happening. So when you can't ride the bus for a few days, you tend to comply. Okay. And she did, and then we never had another issue. So I think right now, especially with Kathy Hottenstein is our bus driver. Kathy is
just so
good at handling the public.
Yeah.
She's done it for so many years that she just,
she's
and she's a little bit more of an authority. She can have a little bit more of an authority figure or characteristic about her, and that just helps. But for the most part, we don't have any problems.
So no more questions or clarifications or anything else? I have a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion. Second?
Okay.
Dale, second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the vouchers. Everybody had an opportunity to look at the vouchers. Have any questions, clarifications, anything about anyone else?
Warm.
Yeah.
Heat's working.
I'm not.
Ooh, you're not warm. No,
you're always cold.
Yeah.
Hearing none, I have a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Pam made the motion. Have a second.
A second.
Joanne seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Financial reports. Anybody have an opportunity to review or look at those?
Probably the only thing that looks is our wages for congregate look over, and it's just, again, when we split this out, we did not know how the meal cost tool would come out at that time. So overall, the wages for nutrition will be fine. It's just that the split out on here is not going to look fine because we look like we're overspent in one and underspent in the other, but I talked to Nancy about that, and since literally it's all one budget, we just split it out for our purposes, we'll be okay, so just don't get too worried about that.
Okay. Any other areas of concern or questions?
No, I think we're fairly on track. We were hoping to purchase some equipment out of ADRC. That's not going to happen. We were hoping to get a copier out of there, but we can't do that with the state guidelines, so I'm a little disappointed on that because we could have used that. But we are going to look at ordering some computers out of ADRC yet. I have talked to Shane about that because we will have some money available in there. So we're
What's
kind of
the problem with the copier?
It's considered equipment, and they won't let us expense it out in 1 year, essentially.
Computers equipment?
Not on the computers, just on the copier. The copier's over 5,000, and that's their threshold for that. So the good news is I didn't buy the copier, so there was... We actually had looked at that a couple months ago, and I was very hesitant. So I just had some concerns about it, given my experience and some other things. So I passed it on to Nancy and said, do you think this might be a problem? And she said yes. And so then,
so how do you get a new
one?
Yeah,
really.
You we'll never
have,
do?
We'll have to lease it. We can't. And see, that's kind of frustrating for me because we literally have money in the budget that we could. And we're not, we'll
not
have
because
to,
of the rules you can't.
We'll have to lease it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Is what it is. It's better that I didn't buy it and the county had to pay it back. So.
But then again, sometimes it's better just to do and then ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I got that.
Can you lease it to get the purchase price down under the threshold?
Maybe.
That well, that's the problem is you can't expense out anything over $5,000. That's what she wanted to be able to do.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous. They could give us a waiver for it. They just have said they're not likely to do so. I mean, they could grant us the waiver and we could do it. So.
What kind of lease do you have on it?
Right now, well, the lease that we don't have it right now, so.
Well, yeah, okay.
Because our copier's old, but, and the lease is, it's reasonable. It'll be fine. I mean, it's just.
I mean, a set amount or per copy
yeah,
or per
Well,
so
there's
many
a
years,
set amount,
or?
And then for the lease, and then you pay a maintenance agreement, which is
all
per
on
copy.
Top of that,
yeah.
Pay a maintenance agreement.
Yeah. Right. But actually, the whole thing was lower than what we paid in the past because copiers have really come down in price, actually. It's amazing how much they have. But it's just frustrating for me because we have the money and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spend it on something else.
But we will be looking at computers. I we do try to make sure that we put computers in. ADRC is obviously the best to get that out of. Obviously, ADRC can't cover all of our offices in terms of computers, but it does cover, it can cover our front desk, it can cover mine, it can cover all the INAs, DBS, so it does get to most of our computers, and then we can look at that. So
so if you don't use the money, do you lose it?
Yeah. Essentially, we can ask for some carryover, but that carryover can't buy equipment, so yeah. It's frustrating for me, but on the other hand, I was extremely worried about it because of the carryover regulations. I felt that they were probably going to be the same, and so I'm glad I didn't. I mean, it's it wouldn't have been fun to come here and say, yeah. Hey, DHS wants their money back, and that wouldn't come out. That wouldn't be allowable. In any other budget, so it would have been a county expense. Yeah.
Take it out of your paycheck.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of a paycheck. So.
You got your tip jar.
Yeah.
You couldn't go the route with to lease it, and then with an option to buy later.
Yeah, that's what that? that's what we'd have to look at. But by then, you've probably got about half of it paid for.
Right.
But it's better than nothing. But it's just for me. It's just frustrating when you have the money there
right.
And you
buy
can't
it.
Do it. But it is what it is. You got to play by the rules or you don't get the money at all. So it's you play by the rules.
Yeah.
So we'll get it figured out. And like I said, we're looking at some other things. So we'll look at computers and things like that. But, it just...
Did you have a question, Dale?
It's
comments?
Frustrating.
No
other questions or
so
comments?
So that was really the only two things I had on the finance reports that were of issue. So.
I have a motion to approve the financial report. Fairman and Dale seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Reports. ADRC, Grant County Director's Report.
So pretty much everything, I think, for the most part on my report, we've talked a little bit about working obviously on the compliance plan, Elderfest, budget projections for ADRC. We just had our aging programs, the end of the year is in September, so we just kind of finalized up all those end-of-year reports for those. We did get the bids in on the nutrition van. You know, it was written into this year's budget. We received two bids from one dealer. That was it. So, for a cargo, for a Ford Transit cargo van. One of them is a rear-wheel drive. I'm sorry. That bid was for $27,262. The other one was from an all-wheel drive for $31,682. And I believe we budgeted, and I looked at that, and I'm not feeling comfortable saying it. I believe we budgeted 40, but I might have been a little off. 18,860. And what is it? Maybe a little less than that. 22,140. So 18,860 and 22,140. So we did budget 40,000 for it. So we've got plenty of money to purchase it.
Is that the only difference in the two vehicles?
It is the only difference, is the rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive. and we are leaning towards the all-wheel drive. We just opened the bids yesterday. I didn't put it on the agenda. I did talk to Ben. He said because it was in the budget, it had already been approved as part of the budget, that we did not need to do that. But my feeling is just with the transportation nightmare that we had last year with the roads and things like that, I'm a little more comfortable with the all-wheel drive, just thinking that it's just a little bit added safety feature.
15, yeah.
Yeah. So, and since we had eight closures and how many days where we were driving where it wasn't closed but the roads were still awful.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I'm leaning towards. If anybody has a recommendation or doesn't think we should do that, I guess speak now or... any concerns about that? Okay. I was a little concerned we weren't even going to get any bids for a while there, so I'm not sure. Medicare Part D is in full swing. For those of you that have been to our office, our appointments are filled up. As I think I told you before, Medicare decided to make significant changes to the plan finder. And then released it like a month before open enrollment started. So that was great for staff trying to get trained. And there's always issues to the plan finder right at the startup anyway. And so this really kind of set people into a tizzy. And one of the things that the most significant change was that they wanted people to set up Medicare accounts prior to running the plan finder. You can do it without a Medicare account, but you just then run an anonymous plan finder, which doesn't really give you, it doesn't really drill it down to your needs so much. What made it difficult for us is in the past, we were able to do some of this through the mail, and we can't do that this year because people have to set up a username and a password, and they wouldn't allow us to have you call in and give it to us. So that made it interesting, and it wasn't just our county, it was all the counties. So, but to add to that, Greene County and Grant County had new EBSs, so new elder benefit specialists this year. So not only was that going to be just interesting for Part D alone, but then to have all these changes made it even more interesting. So what we did, we pulled in Mary and Danica. From the regional office staff, they were willing to help out with us, and Courtney stepped in and also helped so that people can come in, Courtney can get their Medicare account set up for them, explain that process to them a little bit, help them come up with a username and password, some people have never done that before, and then run the plan finders for them. Emily then did get permission from the attorneys that she works with to follow up with those people over the phone or in person as needed to enroll them if need be. So it has worked fairly well, but as usual, our appointments fill right up, and that happens every year. we just can't meet the demand because we're a really large county, and our over 60 or our over 65 population is growing. So we, the people that we were unable to get in, have received a sheet with some numbers that they can call Medicare, the Medicaid hotline, or the Part D helpline. Sorry, not Medicaid. And giving them some information on how they can still do that over the phone, or that they can talk to a local insurance agency, or some of the pharmacies are doing it too. So we try to at least give them some information, and we have put people on a cancellation list, so as we've gotten cancellations, we can pick them up. And we did pick up a fair amount.
Yeah.
So that will be running till December 7th, and then we'll be working on getting all of that into the database. So Emily has done a great job. Courtney has done a great job for never having done it before. She has stepped right in, and I think you actually enjoyed it, too.
She did. She did a good job.
Good, good.
Walk us through real well.
Yeah,
thank
you. It'll be simple for you.
Yeah. Good to
thank
hear.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really nice. Everybody, all the staff really pitched in very, very well and really, you know, understood that it was going to be different, and people had some concerns, and of course, they had some concerns because, you know, Marcia had retired, and then, you know, then we changed everything, which we didn't change it. But anyway, so I'm hoping that next year, you know, most people, hopefully by next year, will have Medicare accounts set up, except for new people turning 65. And as we do our Welcome to Medicare workshops, we'll incorporate that as part of that workshop, too, that people will have the ability to set up those accounts right there. So again, hopefully as we move forward, we won't have this big mass of, oh my gosh, none of these people have a Medicare account set up. Because that alone took some explanation, and some people were very leery of that, and didn't want to do that, and yet you have to kind of explain to them that that's really the only way they're going to get really good information out of that plan finder. So that was a little interesting. I'm continuing to work on staff evaluations. Those have to be completed by the end of the year. A couple other things. There was a Veterans Resource Fair yesterday at the Alliant Energy Center. Christian, our disability benefit specialist, attended the event along with Ken McAndrews, who is our VCO from Grant County. It was several counties large. All of our region counties were in it. Rock was in it. Dane was in it. I don't remember.
Everybody was there. I attended it yesterday.
Everybody was there? Yeah, oh, great. I haven't even had a chance to touch base with Christian. So can you?
It was huge. They had a really, really good turnout. They
good.
Had a large number of vendors there. Danica and Mary Mesro were there. And people from the region, the regional committee were there. And so they had a really large turnout. They had a Gold Star mother that did a presentation. She did a fantastic job on it. They talked about the, I guess it's where the veterans athletic thing that they're doing this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're having all these competitions
yeah.
and that, and they're looking for people that want to compete and volunteers that they need.
That's what Casey Chamberlain from Bosqueville competed in Alaska and won several medals
right.
for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they had a breakout groups in the morning, they had breakout groups in the afternoon where they shared information, and I found it very, you guys said that you have participated or know a lot of information on it. I hadn't done that before, so it was information
great.
For me. It's really good and beneficial. So, yeah.
Well, great. I'm glad to hear
and they're
that.
They're looking at doing it again in the future. So.
I think we had 5 or 6 people attend from the area that were registered anyway.
Oh, okay.
We could add more show up, but mm-hmm. I think we provided transportation to one, I think.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, good. I'm glad that you could.
Yes.
I put that in there, and I'm thinking I haven't even had a chance to even talk to Christian yet to see how it went. So I'm glad you.
Well,
were
I think
there.
Almost every county in the area was represented, with either the Veterans Service Office or the ADRCs and all of that.
And where that came from, I should point out, is from carryover money from the past year. So it was people that still had some money. So Dane and in all of these counties
yes.
that had some money. Grouped together and decided to do this Veterans Resource
oh,
Fair.
Nice.
So it's a possibility that even though we didn't get our copier, we still put on a really good event, and that may happen again. Maybe
it
that
was.
Will become more of an annual thing if possible. So
they ran
that's
from
nice.
9 to 2:30, and it was well organized, and everybody knew what they were, where they were going, what they were doing. And
that's great, because that was a pretty big event, and trying to organize all those counties.
I don't know the exact number, but I'd be interested in seeing, because they had a really good turnout.
Great. So. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for for letting us know that. I didn't want to bore
anybody with it, but I found it helpful. So.
Good, good. No, that's great. That's what it was set up for.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, in that first year when you're planning an event like that, you just don't know how well that's going to go. So I'm glad it went well. All right. That's all basically I have. I'm just trying to wrap everything up. So.
And the program reports?
Should point out on those that you won't see an October report for EBS or information and assistance, because we don't have those numbers yet. Emily won't have all her numbers even in for October, and our numbers are in the system, but Danica sends me, from the regional office, sends me the call reports with that information on, and it'll probably be in my email today, because this is it's usually, the timing of it isn't always quite right, so I did not have it as of last night. I checked and still didn't have it, so. So you will see those numbers in January, I guess. But I can tell you that we are very busy in the INA world, and they are doing tremendous numbers. So, and they are happy to have Stephanie back full time. So it's been quite a year for information and assistance staff, with two maternity leaves and a surgery. And so they've been...
And documenting all the contacts and that stuff.
Yes, and then with Marcia retiring and a lull between Marcia and Emily coming on board, they were even... taken on some of that too, so it's been quite a year. Everybody has worked really, really, really hard this year, I think, and everybody has pitched in, so it's a good group. I'm lucky. Very lucky.
I'd like to compliment you and your staff on everything you've done. I think it's really fantastic.
Thank you. They do good work. It is not me. They're the ones that are doing it all. So.
And you have the move, too.
Yes, on top of that.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you get it all there.
We've had a few little glitches here and there, but for the most part, we're extremely happy with the office space, and especially with Part D coming in. People are really noticing it and commenting on it. And I mean, other than my messy loan closet right now that is still a mess from Elderfest kind of being thrown back in, it's worked out really, really well. So we're very happy with it.
And is there anything else anybody has to share or wants to share?
It'll be nice not to have that breeze coming in my window all winter. it could blow your hair, Lester.
January 15th of 2020. Yep.
Can you believe it?
Too fast. Say anything else anybody has to share, wants to share?
Well, just this Potosi meal site. Mm-hmm. What was the last site organized? Or do you know? Or?
I'd have to. I think we actually officially closed the site when I was here. You and I were talking about that in like 13 or 14, because there hadn't been anybody in attendance for several years.
No, they haven't. It hasn't been all that long, really.
So I'd have to actually go back and look at that.
When I think when they moved it to the school, it did really go kaput.
No.
Yeah. They thought, like they said, they thought it was going to be a good thing for an intergenerational thing, but it didn't work out that way.
But didn't give them no time to socialize after they ate.
No.
That was
kind of a bad deal.
I'll try to provide, you know, again, we in the past I provided you with some site comparisons, the cost per sites and things like that, and I think that's some of the information that you're really going to have to go back and look at, because I don't think there's going to be additional monies coming down. We're certainly not seeing it at the OAA level for Older Americans Act, and unless you guys know of funds within the county that I don't know about.
Well, I guess I'd be interested in where they're having it, because that was one of the big problems they had before, was finding a place to have it.
Yeah.
Well, one of the places they were looking at was the fire department. They have a kitchen, and they have a room big enough to handle it. The other one was the Mason Lodge. They have a kitchen. And they're all handicap accessible. I forget where the third one was at. But,
Now, would they charge rent on the facility? Is that what?
Well, that's where the big question becomes. Mm-hmm. This is something that we still have to go through.
Some of our places
do. I don't think the fire department would charge. That's kind of a community building, period.
So it'd be ideal for them to find a place that they could.
And they have plenty of parking, unless there happened to be a fire that day, you know.
Sure.
Unknown factor.
Right. But, you know, that's where they hold their catfish festival and the rest of the stuff there.
Okay.
So it's always managed to be able to work out. That was the kind of place I would have been pushing for if I was down the business. Shirley and I had quite a conversation on the phone over this.
Yeah, they have called in and spoke with both Ruth and myself prior to today and then asked quite a few questions prior to the meeting.
Sure,
so,
sure.
I mean, they're trying to be very thorough, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But,
again,
obviously, funding is a factor, so that is something that we need to look at. And I think, you know, you need to look at it.
So the cost would be if they offered the facility for free, the only expense would be the manager and the meals.
And the paper supplies and the transportation
and all the
admin costs.
Probably a phone.
And a phone.
Okay.
Computer.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's
involves a lot.
It does.
Expense
it does.
Yeah.
It does. Much more than people realize, but in just gathering all the volunteers and making sure. There's a lot to be done there. But
yeah.
I'm not saying that it can't be done. I'm just
saying
it just needs to be looked at in terms of the rest of the county.
Does the meal site manager handle the volunteers or does
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, that is part of their role. So
that would be an added position that you would have to budget.
Along with all the overhead costs.
So would it be something that would be possible for 2020 if it's not budgeted in this next budget?
It would need some action taken and there would need to be a plan where they're not going to give us additional dollars. And
right.
So it would have to.
It'd create a need for a shift. So. Lori mentioned it earlier. You'd have to cut a day or two someplace else in order to make a day or two there.
Work over there.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I'm not saying that's not a possibility.
Sure.
I think if you, and I'll present you with the numbers of.
I just know that
what that looks
with the
like.
State, you're allowed so many full-time employees, and you can't fill another one if you don't have that.
But this would not be a full-time employee. It
so
would
only not
be about 3 hours a day for a meal site manager there.
Okay.
Normally
yes.
That's all paid there is a manager, right?
And my salary and your salary.
Well, no, I mean.
Yes,
I mean
as far
that.
As right there,
yeah.
Yes.
Right,
that
yeah.
And
right.
Sometimes there's a driver, the driver who
delivers
the meals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like you say, three. Probably a place like that, 4 hours would definitely be maximum.
Probably three, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we have in Cassville and Blue River and those smaller areas. And that was my point to them, was it's not just the cost of the meal and it's not just the cost of the meal site manager. The program is expensive because, of course, the state requires all sorts of things. You have to have a dietitian review your menus and develop menus, and you have, you know, vendors, so whatever those vendor costs turn out to be, there's a lot of hands in that program. But and it's just a matter of, I think, in all honesty, I've been thinking we should look at it in terms of the days of service everywhere for a while. So, and I think I brought you that information in the past, what the cost is per site. So I think it's just a good time to reevaluate all those and see if there is a place where we can cut a day out or here and there and possibly do it. So. Depending that they actually find a need there. Because what I wouldn't want to see happen is we get, you know, 8 excited people and then they come for 3 months and then,
I'll
you know,
yeah,
we're
I'll
down to 2 or 3, so,
yeah.
You know.
How are the other ones doing? Like, say, Hazel Green, Bagley.
Well, we're not in Hazel Green, but Bagley's, it's are probably, we've got a few sites. I don't know that I'm, like Blue River, some of our smaller sites are not well attended.
Struggling one.
Monford, and Dickieville is only one day a week, so. So, yeah, that's. Okay. And I think that's the other thing you need to consider, is we are not in Hazel Green. There has been a few requests from there, so if you open up one in Potosi, you might expect that somebody from Hazel Green might be here as well. I mean, those are, you know, things you do need to consider, because that is an area that we are not covering right now. If somebody has a need out there, as Bruce said, we do try to get meals to them, if at all possible. We try to work with their support system to do that.
Well, one of the big problems they got to having down there was location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, so.
So is Potosi bigger in population than Hazel Green? Do you know? Do they combine, the population of Potosi and Denison together, or are they separate?
Yeah. No, they're separate.
They're separate. In that part way out, yeah.
Seven at Potosi and about 300 in Denison. Something like that.
Well, I don't know.
They're kept separate.
Yeah.
Okay. So we just completed, you know, a year, well, in terms of our aging program, we've completed a year. So we can kind of look at, we'll provide you with the numbers of what they have been in all the sites, give you some of that information. And the other thing that, you know, that is costing the program money too, is that we've got staff members in some sites who are grandfathered in for benefits. So some of these sites cost more than others because of that. So so that is an issue too. So as you make a change to that site, if you change one from 5 days to 4 days and that person's hours change, then that takes them out of the benefit world as well. So you just need to be cognizant of that as well. So lots of things to consider.
Yeah.
Nothing is ever easy.
Not ever. But, you know, we'll try to provide all that information for you so that you have that to look at. And then with what they come up with the survey, I think
you've got to start someplace.
Yeah, you do. You do. And I appreciate them taking the time. I mean, they've done a lot of due diligence, I think, and really tried. Yeah. You know, they were really wanting to come here prepared, and you know, so I think that's good. Appreciate that.
Well, with all that being said, I'll move adjourned until January
15th. Okay, I motion to adjourn until January 15th, 2020. Second?
I wish. Oh. Happy Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carolyn, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.